אתם עם SBS בעברית.
Shalom Australia. The big story of the week in the Jewish news is the Sydney Beit Din has declared that, quote, an opportunity for real collaboration has been lost after the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies working group formulated to advise it on reforms released in a special report. The working group was formed in 2019 in the wake of contempt of court findings against the Sydney Beit Din Dayanim 2 years earlier, so as to ensure that there will be no repeat of such a scenario and to improve the religious body's transparency. But while the two organizations began the process with goodwill, the report's release has reopened prior divisions, with the Sydney Beit Din saying the Jewish Board of Deputies of New South Wales, quote, does not have the moral right or statutory power to conduct an inquiry into anyone, let alone the Dayanim and the Beit Din. The report basically urges substantive reform for the Sydney Beit Din to be restored to a position where it enjoys the support and confidence and respect of the community. It calls on the Sydney Beit Din Corporation and its agreement to the broad principles of reform, positive developments, but says, quote, it remains some considerable distance from achieving a set of objectives set out by the working group, including representing the whole Orthodox community, its rabbis having necessary judicial expertise, and a clear separation of the Sydney Beit Din financial, administrative, and judicial functions. So there's two quite different reactions to this. The Sydney Beit Din, in a statement, said to try and impose or even suggest an agenda with reforms that the committee knows are, in our view, against halakha and against the view of world-renowned Dayanim who advised us and therefore cannot succeed, is not only not helpful and futile, but extremely divisive. But the Jewish Board of Deputies New South Wales President, Leslie Berger, who chaired the working group, said Supreme Court Justice John Sakhar's judgment a few years back had identified serious government issues relating to the Sydney Beit Din and generated great consternation within the Jewish community. So he said the working group has conscientiously sought a way forward that will strengthen the Sydney Beit Din, which would be very much in its interests, as well as the interests of the Jewish community as a whole. So this won't be the last time this is in the news, and if interested readers can find the report on the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies website.
Shane, this is a very important issue for the Jewish community. Do you know what prompted the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies to even review the actions of the Sydney Beit Din?
Well, in their monthly plenums that they held, it was generated for discussion out of concern by its deputies, all the deputies, and it was agreed to a good outcome was to improve relations with the Sydney Beit Din and, like President Leslie Berger said, restore some level of trust and transparency given some of the previous court case which was lost by the Sydney Beit Din. So I guess they did their own report and they've just released the findings of the report, and now we've just got to see what happens if in fact some progress can be made between the two organizations. That would be the goal.
You're listening to SBS Australian Jewish Update with Shane Dziatnik from the AJN and Nitza Lowenstein. Shane, on a totally different topic, International Holocaust Memorial Day was on the 27th of January, 76 years to the day Auschwitz was liberated in 1945.
Yes, this was a very big event because for the first time it hooked up online all of Australia's Holocaust centres and museums and very high-profile guest speakers. So it was all around Australia, this event, all online. And I guess, you could say one of the biggest guests was the Prime Minister of Australia, Scott Morrison, who said, "We're blessed here in Australia with peace and freedom. We're an accepting people who have become the most successful multicultural nation on earth." And part of that blessing, he said, are the thousands of Holocaust survivors who have made their home here amongst us. We honour their courage and wisdom, and in the quiet we close our eyes and we open our ears, and we hear the voices of times past, the lives, the loves, the joys, the compassion, and the unlimited potential that was violently snatched from our world. Treasurer Josh Frydenberg, who of course lost some family members of his during the Shoah, reflected on the day too by saying the atrocities of the Holocaust were some of the darkest times in world history. So we have a duty and a mission to ensure we do everything we can so the world unites and says never again. And he reinforced his call for Holocaust education in school curriculums and a national framework of Holocaust centres. So education is very, very important, and I guess it's welcome news that all these funding has been secured for new Holocaust museums in Sydney, boosting the Sydney one, but also new museums in Brisbane, Adelaide and Perth, and possibly, or most likely, in Canberra soon as well. Other special guests were Senate Opposition Leader Penny Wong, Michael Kirby, Justice Michael Kirby, and stand-up CEO Gideon Reisner, who recalled his late grandmother, Saba Fenniger, who was a Jewish Holocaust Centre survivor guide. And meanwhile, very quickly, there was also the first ever Asian Shoah commemoration event, and Sydney communal leader Jeremy Jones was the keynote speaker for that inaugural event.
And you're listening to SBS, Australian Jewish Update, with Shane Ziatnik from the AJN. Shane, I think our listeners would like to know what happened with Malka Leifer. I believe she appeared in Melbourne court via video link.
Yes, that's right. She appeared on camera from North Melbourne Police Station for a 25-minute filing hearing. And among those following her first Australian court appearance were alleged victims, sisters Ellie Sapper, Darcy Ehrlich and Nicole Mayer. The magistrate asked Tony Hargraves, who was representing Leifer, to confirm the charges against her, and he confirmed the former Adas Israel school principal faced 74 charges, including 11 counts of rape and 47 of indecent assault. She has been remanded for a committal mention by video link before Melbourne Magistrates Court on April the 9th, her next scheduled appearance. And welcoming Leifer's return to Australia, Attorney General Christian Porter said it marks the end of a very long and complicated extradition and will bring relief to alleged victims who have waited many years for this moment.
Shane, before we go, I would like to let our listeners know that opera director Elijah Moshinsky died from COVID-19, age 75. He died in London. And many of our listeners who are opera lovers will mourn the death of Moshinsky that contributed a lot to Opera Australia. Shane Diziatnik, senior journalist of the Australian Jewish News, thank you so much and have a great week. עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.